A reading from Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brother, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
I guess it's over here. Let us pray Psalm 116 responsively. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication.
The
cords of death endangered me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me? I will fill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
Precious in your sight, O Lord, is the death of your servants.
O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Reading from 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and the enduring word of God. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Now that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and in all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" The same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had made known to them, how he had been known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, O Christ. Jesus meets us at unexpected times and in unexpected places and events. Not expecting him, we often don't recognize him. And so it was with the two in our gospel lesson today, heading back to Emmaus. And so it can be with us, not unlike failing at times to recognize friends, or more likely acquaintances, when we meet them in unexpected places and times. This can be especially true when we really don't know the person that well whom we encounter, when they aren't playing the role with which we've always associated them. And thus it can be when we encounter Jesus in circumstances when he doesn't do what we expect him to do. Expectations based on an imperfect understanding of Jesus. The pair on their way to Emmaus that afternoon had hoped that he was the one to redeem Jerusalem. But now he was dead, crucified by the Roman authorities on the basis of false testimony from the Jewish religious leaders and the shouts of the crowd whom they'd stirred up. It well may be that these two had witnessed the crucifixion, had heard the thunk of the hammer as the nails which held him to the cross to suffer and die were driven in. And perhaps most telling of all, heard him say the words, "It is finished." Quite likely, as most, if not all of those who were witnesses, they assumed that he meant his life was finished, and all that they dreamed of, all that so many had expected, had died with him, was finished just as completely as his life was finished. But this finish was actually a new beginning. The next step in the plan of God, which he showed, in which he showed his love for all of his creation, all of his creatures, and for all of us. I've often wondered if these two on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus that afternoon might have been husband and wife. They had a home together in Emmaus, to which they were returning after the sad events, or so they thought they were, which had happened in Jerusalem. Possibly another clue supporting that speculation that they were husband and wife is the fact that the name of only one of them is mentioned. Given the customs of the time, it's perhaps not surprising that Luke would only mention the husband's name when speaking of a couple. It was very common. The true lesson of this story for us is that Jesus doesn't abandon us in times when we don't recognize him, but in perhaps sometimes subtle ways, through being himself, he gives us avenues through which we can recognize him, possibly to see him in a way we'd never seen him before, and in seeing them in that way, to know him more clearly. The couple in this story had confessed that they had hoped that he was the one to redeem Jerusalem. Many others had also hoped this. Surely the crowds that shouted the hosannas just a week earlier, as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, who'd shouted hosannas, who'd thrown palm branches on the ground, had even their coats on the ground as he rode along on that donkey, were expecting him to do amazing things, to redeem them, to buy them back out of slavery, to make Israel again to be the great nation it once was, or at least the tradition told them it was, under King David 1,000 years earlier. Indeed, Jesus was the one come to redeem them, but not from earthly powers, but from slavery to sin, from the consequences of disobedience to the Heavenly Father, to their God and Jesus' God. And surely Jesus' opening of the scriptures to the Emmaus couple was a significant step in teaching them this, a lesson which sadly many today have not yet understood. It was because of their hospitality to him at the end of their journey, at the close of the day, that Cleopas and his companion had a chance to realize who this stranger was. He sat down with them for a meal, took bread, broke it, blessed it, and gave it to them. Very possibly something that they'd seen before, had been part of before, possibly even just 3 nights earlier. And after this, he vanished from their sight. This event, their subsequent pondering about what happened, began to suggest to them who it was whom they had encountered, who had been their guest in their home. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? So in spite of the late hour, they headed back the 7 miles to Jerusalem to tell the others, to share the news that they'd received, to speak with the apostles and disciples what had happened, to ponder together what all this could mean for their in their lives, for their country, for their faith. Whether the vision of the women, which they'd had at the tomb that morning, an empty tomb, was valid. A vision of angels who told them he was alive. But in the couple's absence that past afternoon, whether or not the message of the angels was true, whether or not the tomb was indeed empty, was no longer something to be debated, but instead something to be marveled at. He'd also appeared that afternoon to Simon Peter, which confirmed fully and completely the interpretation our Emmaus friends had put on the events that they had seen, the stranger with whom they walked, who opened the meaning of scripture to them, who broke bread before them, was indeed the one who'd come to redeem Israel from their sins, the Christ, God's Messiah. And so it was because of their hospitality that Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And it was also so in part that hospitality, that this story has been told throughout the century and is made known to us in Holy Scripture, and made to us, known to us as well in the breaking of the bread at the communion table today. we come to know Jesus through his body and blood in Holy Communion. To know the one who will guide us on the road of our lives. A strange story. Some, even today, find it a story difficult to believe. But it's our story, those of us who name Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In a few minutes, we'll have the opportunity with the whole church to confess in the words of the Apostles' Creed that it is our story. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. Amen.